the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, February 2nd. I'm David Gura, in for Ben Johnson. The Jay-Z-backed entertainment company Project Panther has made a $56 million bid to buy a Swedish music streaming company called Aspiro. It streams music in higher quality than its competitors, and it is a competitive sector. There were almost 450 billion plays last year, according to Next Big Sound, a company that does data analytics for the music industry. Alex White is Next Big Sound's CEO. Hey, Alex.
Hi there.
This is becoming a pretty crowded space, it seems to me. You've got Beats and Pandora and Spotify. Now there's this Project Panther. How do streaming services set themselves apart?
Yeah, I think a few years ago it was just who can license the content. And so that was before Spotify had launched in the U.S. And now, since most of them have licensed catalogs, you need to differentiate around discoverability, around the network that you're building there. You know, four or five battlegrounds that they're really trying to stand out from each other.
What are those battlegrounds?
I think it's data and analytics and who can be the most friendly towards the music industry, who can secure exclusive content or pre-releases or differentiated, you know, music and video.
Do you see it breaking down by genre? Are certain artists likely to go to one streaming site over another?
I think that we're seeing different types of artists flock to different networks. An example would be on SoundCloud, we see a very heavy EDM, dance music, electronic kind of genre. I think that platforms like Vevo and YouTube see a lot more pop music and kind of top 40, and I think that might be a differentiating factor as this market evolves.
I wonder where we are in the evolution of streaming services. Are we waiting for one of these companies to come out on top, or do you think that there's room for all of them to coexist and, I guess, to compete as well?
I think the record labels had a problem when they licensed music to iTunes, and that became the sole retailer and the number one music retailer, and I think they're smart to see lots of different players in the industry, and that they want to have a competitive marketplace between, you know, the Beats and Apple and Spotify and others, and I think that there are a couple that will prosper, but I certainly don't think that a half dozen can make it.
I wanted to ask you just lastly about branding. Beats has Dr. Dre, and now Project Panther has Jay-Z. I can see how that has promotional value, but does it help these companies land the licensing deals you've been talking about?
I think the licensing deals are, you know, complex negotiations across lots of different parties. I don't know too much how Dr. Dre, I don't see him in the negotiating room with the labels, but I think that's more on the consumer-facing side than the industry side.
Alex White is the head of Next Big Sound, a music data analytics company. Alex, thanks very much for your time.
Hey, I really appreciate it.
The proliferation of terrorist propaganda has raised questions about how sites like YouTube screen what users upload, something that's only gotten more difficult as the volume of video has gone up. YouTube says 48 hours worth of video is uploaded every minute. Karen North is a social media expert at USC, and she joins us now. Hi, Karen.
Hey, nice to talk to you.
When Google tries to police these graphic videos on its YouTube site, what are the technical challenges that it faces?
I mean, the real challenge is that with the millions and millions and millions of uploads that happen all the time, you can't expect a company that is hosting a user-generated content site to monitor every single upload and decide what's appropriate or inappropriate for the broader audience. The reality is that this is a very human moment where people look at something and say, that is completely inappropriate for our community.
And when people say that, what happens? What happens at that point?
So what happens is there's a responsibility for all of us if we see something that's truly inappropriate and should be removed. We can alert YouTube and say, that's inappropriate for this reason. Then somebody will look at it and they'll take it down.
I assume that, you know, with these community standards, most users on YouTube or other video sites would not approve of violent videos or terrorist propaganda videos. Is there any way that we can prevent these videos from surfacing across the board?
You mean stop them from ever being uploaded to begin with?
Exactly.
At this point, there's really nothing that can identify a personal moral standard in a video without a person being a part of that. And when that happens, then somebody will find a technology way to get around that, and we'll still be back to the fact that human beings need to keep an eye on our community standards.
Let me just ask you lastly about the government's role here. I remember a couple of years back during the Arab Spring, there was a rather robust debate about how much a company should be deciding this in concert with the government, whether or not it needed to seek out information or advice from the government at all. How has that conversation evolved?
You know, that conversation, especially in the United States, is going to be a long, complex negotiation where, for the most part, we're all on the same page. I mean, despite the fact that people feel a distrust of government surveillance or data collection, the reality is that we also really want our government to keep an eye on safety, security, and privacy issues because we trust our government to be maintaining our safety.
Karen North is director of USC Annenberg's program on online communities. Karen, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Finally, the number of us who subscribe to services like Netflix and Amazon's Prime Instant Video is growing.
We found that 51% of households said they had access to one of these services.
Glenn Doreen is the electronics editor at Consumer Reports, and he says 47% of American adults admit they've shared their login credentials for these sites. What's fascinating?
When we interviewed the companies that provide these services, they don't seem terribly concerned about it. They weren't planning on cracking down on it anytime soon. At least that's what we were hearing, you know, both formally and informally.
Follow us on Twitter at Marketplace Tech, but don't tweet your logins. I'm David Gura, and that's our show for today. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.